You're listening to an Iconic exclusive, which is an interview that we do with one of the industry designers or participators with 13th Age. Due to the nature of the interview, this podcast may run a little bit longer than our normal episodes, as we're just going to let the person we're interviewing talk and answer our questions, and we're going to have a good time doing it. So just be warned, this one may run longer than what you're normally used to listening to.
This is Iconic with your hosts JM, Mark, and Nick.
Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host, JM, and with me is Nick.
Hey!
Today, we have a great show for you. We are returning to Glorantha. Now is a great time to be a Gloranthophile. We have 13th Age and Glorantha coming out later this year, HeroQuest and Glorantha soon, and Adventures in Glorantha for RuneQuest 6 on the horizon. So today, we decided to have Jeff Richard of Moon Design Publishing come back on the show and talk to us about HeroQuest. And if you don't remember, you can go back and listen to bonus episode 6. Jeff is one of the main guys at Moon Design and is the author of the Prince of Sartar webcomic. Welcome, Jeff.
Welcome, guys. Thanks for having me on board.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back.
I got to tell you, I've been using the Prince of Sartar webcomic as a gateway drug for a lot of my friends, getting them exposed to Glorantha.
You guys enjoying it?
Everyone I've sent it to has thoroughly been enjoying it, and I'm eagerly awaiting the next part. So
I wish actually that I had 40 hours in a day along with Kaylin, so that we would be able to churn out episodes more than once a week. Because I have to say, it's an absolute blast putting these pages together. And the only frustrating thing about it is that we haven't managed to get our production cycle faster than a mere one page a week, but we're pretty consistent about that.
Well, and the quality of that one page a week is pretty stunning.
Yeah. The I definitely found the right artist to be working with on this, because no matter how crazy or strange or esoteric the references that I give Kaylin, every time he comes back with something even crazier than I had described to him. So it's a wonderful team. We've had some very visually strange comics in the last couple of cycles.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I would say that if you were going to have to trade the quality with the quantity, stick with the quality.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
That's pretty much well the Moon Design motto. We're not going to be coming out. We don't come out with vast quantity of material, but what we do come out with is we generally are pretty proud of.
Well, I just picked up. I was chatting with one of my friends about just kind of the general state of role playing games and supplements, and how I just picked up the Sartar Companion and the Pavis book last night, and that thing Pavis is like 430 pages of substantial text. I mean, it's not a fate supplement.
The other thing is it's a HeroQuest setting, so there's no stat blocks.
Right.
When you say it's 400 pages of text, it's really text yeah. and art, because they're just this is one of the things that I love writing about writing for HeroQuest, is that I don't have to deal with stat blocks. But on the other hand, that is the downside of it, is that when you're writing a book on the writing side, there's not pages of stat blocks to fall back on.
Yeah. So on that topic, why don't you go ahead and tell us, what is HeroQuest Glorantha? Or tell us about it.
Well, when we did HeroQuest 2nd Edition back in, I think, 2009, mm-hmm. We decided that we were talking with Robin Laws, and that we would try to make this be a generic and universal game system, because it works very well with that. But our hearts have always been in Glorantha. And for a number of years, we had wanted to make a Glorantha-specific version of the HeroQuest 2 rules that was standalone, that also would be at least in my opinion, would be an excellent first book or first introduction into the Glorantha setting, the sort of adventures that you can have there, and basically be a standalone book that then you could build on with things like Sartar, Sartar Companion, Pavis, The Guide to Glorantha, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so HeroQuest Glorantha is not intended to be universal in the slightest. It is a purely Glorantha-specific rule system that uses the HeroQuest 2 model to help you have adventures and stories and hero quests in Glorantha. Yeah.
Is that the only change between HeroQuest 2nd Edition and HeroQuest Glorantha is just the more focus?
We also, we've had HeroQuest 2nd Edition out for six years? Boy, that's terrifying. And, you find things that you don't like in any rule system after a while. We thought some of the mechanics were overly complex. We thought that the emphasis on the 100-word form of character creation it was particularly problematic in places like where I am, in Germany or in France, where many of your gamers aren't native English speakers. And it's kind of unfair to them to tell them, okay, I want you to write a 100-word bit of creative writing, and that's what's going to generate your character. And so instead, we put a big, heavy focus on the as-you-go system. Mm-hmm. We presented all of the major magic systems in great detail, provided lots of material on how to do hero questing, and I think we really tidied up the rules and made them more understandable. At least I hope we did. That's certainly Robin and my take on this. But at the end of the day, the ultimate judge of that's going to be the people that take the book and run games with it.
Well, I can say, having just read HeroQuest 2 in February, in preparing for my Sartar game, and then reading through HeroQuest and Glorantha, I understand everything much better in the new version of the rules, except for Lunar Magic. I'm going to have to go back and reread the Lunar Magic chapter like two or three times, because
Lunar Magic is just weird.
It really is.
Isn't that chaotic anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
It is. It's Lunar Magic lets you do, even as a fairly unspecialized Lunar Magician, it lets you do a very broad range of magic that is not necessarily as deep as other magic. So if you remember, you get to select a phase of the moon when you initiate to the Lunar Way,
right?
And you can use that phase of the moon to create glamours of several different runes, which again is quite different than how every other magic system works. And then if you become illuminated, which is an issue, which also there's quite a bit of illumination rules in the final draft of HeroQuest Glorantha, if you become illuminated, suddenly you can do an incredibly broad array of magic, far broader than any other type of magic. It's always at a comparative disadvantage when it's directly up against a more specialized magician. But you can do just so many things. And then, of course, if you get really bogged into a horrible situation, you can flip that moon rune and call on the chaos rune and tank yourself with chaos. And then the disadvantages of the Lunar Way go away, and you just end up with the disadvantages of being tainted by chaos. So I we've played quite a few of sessions with Lunars, and the players really enjoy the Lunar Magic because it just is so wildly different.
Excellent.
Well, cool. So you mentioned that porting HeroQuest into Glorantha, you've had to make a little bit of changes to the settings and that sort of thing. How does that impact or play with the other conversions that have taken place? Specifically, thinking of 13th Age and RuneQuest 6.
I'm working very closely with Rob and Jonathan on 13th Age and Glorantha. And in that there, that my own take on role-playing game systems is each game system does, you know, basically certain types of is intended to do certain types of things and doesn't do certain other types of things. So 13th Age is an absolutely wonderful, more combat-oriented than HeroQuest is. I mean, I think that's indisputable. But it's an absolutely wonderful, and this always drives Rob when I call 13th Age this, but it's a really wonderful traditional role-playing game system that has a lot of nifty elements grafted onto it, which work really well with Glorantha. But you end up having a very different style of game with 13th Age of Glorantha than you do with HeroQuest Glorantha. In 13th Age of Glorantha, you're going to have characters doing really cool magical feats, often driven by the characters' rune associations, and often the very adventure itself is going to have a runic orientation to it, and the cults are pretty much well synonymous with the character class, and it really has a wonderful tabletop feel. HeroQuest Glorantha is much more mythic and story in style. So you may have, in our house campaign, we have had multiple sessions go by without a single combat. Mm-hmm. And you know, because HeroQuest, all types of obstacles are treated the same. So in order to have that you know, get the system working on all cylinders, you can do it just as well with it being a court intrigue as you can with it being a combat. But if, on the other hand, what, you know, pushes your buttons and really is the fun part of the game is having that cool tactical skirmish, then HeroQuest is probably not as good of a rules engine as certain other games. And I don't know if I answered the question at all, but I certainly meandered a lot.
Yeah. No, so... As a follow-up question, that are there elements that you see in 13th Age Glorantha or in RuneQuest 6 Glorantha that would be good to maybe bring into HeroQuest Glorantha?
Oh, I really, really, really love some of the gaming in Glorantha ideas that Jonathan and Rob put together in 13th Age. And frankly, steal all of the one unique things.
Nice.
Just steal them. When you're making a HeroQuest Glorantha character, I wish I could have stolen the verbiage that they did for the one unique thing, because it ports perfectly to HeroQuest, and it's lovely. Absolutely. I mean, really, really helps in creating interesting characters that already have story elements built into the character. I mean, absolutely love it.
Very cool. So we're primarily a 13th Age podcast, as you know. Can you walk us through kind of how does HeroQuest work mechanically?
Okay. HeroQuest, the core thing on HeroQuest is that your character is basically a bundle of abilities, right? There's no stats. You're just a group. You have a group of abilities that you have created for your character, and you use those abilities to overcome whatever sort of obstacles pop up in the game. And there are not, NPCs don't get statted. The GM determines basically what difficulty is it going to be to overcome this NPC as an obstacle in the ongoing adventure or story. So it's a very, the very core engine is extremely different from 13th Age. On the other hand, there's a lot of conceptual similarities on, for example, the background, the 8 background points that you get in 13th Age, mm-hmm. are very similar to the idea that you just come up with a bunch of abilities for a HeroQuest character. You just don't have any other stats. So if I'm making a HeroQuest character, I don't bother saying my character is strong unless I want being strong to be the way that I overcome obstacles that show up in the game. If it's not important to my character, then it's just not there on the character sheet. And you come up with a keyword, which is basically your in Glorantha, that's your occupation. Am I a thane? Am I a warrior? Am I a priest? Am I a farmer? Am I a herder? Whatnot. You assign yourself three of the Glorantha runes, and then you come up with 10 or 11 additional abilities that give you additional ways to overcome obstacles, help define your character, and so forth. And an ability can be anything from a personal characteristic, like strong. It could be a notable item, like, oh, what was the name of Aragorn's sword?
Narsil.
No, there, Narsil. It could be, you could write down Narsil. I use Narsil to overcome obstacles. It could be a relationship. You know, I am good friends with King Snorri. And that's an ability that I use during the course of the game to overcome appropriate problems that pop up in the game. And so it's a really simple system. I mean, it's a fantastically easy system for newbies to comprehend, but it operates under a very different set of basic assumptions than either 13th Age or RuneQuest does.
Well, that's really cool. One of the things that, as I was reading through the little bit of HeroQuest that I did, that stood out to me was, and you've touched on it already, is that it's very, very much story-driven, very much story-focused, mm-hmm. More so than probably anything else. And that's one thing that I love about 13th Age and about role-playing in general, is just telling a wonderful, fantastic story. You had earlier contrasted using a 100-word character creation versus an as-you-go character creation. Does that tie into the 10 to 11 abilities that you mentioned?
Yes. That, what I just described is the what's called the list method. And what's preferred in HeroQuest Glorantha is what's called as you go, which is the GM says you don't have to decide these abilities now. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to decide because you get a certain number of points to raise abilities at the beginning of the game, like in pretty much any point value game. The GM on the as you go, the GM says, okay, we're going to start the game. All I care right now is that you have your keyword and your runes. And all the rest of it, put in during the course of the game so that you define your character as you start playing him or her. I mean, one of the things that I always hated about character creation in a lot of games, and actually this is one of the great virtues of being the one of the game writers, is the things that you like and that you dislike get to be, of course, treated in your game. One of the things that I disliked was, usually in a game, I have to figure out my character, and everything about my character before the game even starts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, you kind of come in, and that's why randomized tables are so popular, because you've just got no idea. You know, I don't know what I have a kind of a vague idea what I want to play. And beyond that, I've always found it more enjoyable to discover what I'm playing during the course of the game. And that's pretty much the as-you-go approach. Right. So in our house campaign, I think it was 5 or 6 sessions in before everybody had spent their initial creation points. You know, when you're playing a character, you're writing a storyline. You know, you're writing a storyline that works in conjunction with other people's storylines. And then there's the GM that's got, you know, his or her, the way that she assembles all of this together or throws events or throws obstacles or whatnot to it. But when you're writing a story, you rarely know everything about your protagonist up front. You know, you learn about a character through through experiencing that character. And so I just find the as-you-go way to just be a wonderfully simple way of trying to resolve that within the confines of a role-playing game where you've got to have stats, you've got to have statted abilities in order to do anything.
Yeah, you have to have something there.
Exactly.
Well, how compatible is HeroQuest and Glorantha with the current stuff that's out there, Sartar, Sartar Companion, and Pavis?
100%. 100%. We wanted to make sure that, I mean, there could be, I'm sure that there are extremely minor changes, because that's, of course, inevitable anytime you do something like that. Like, for instance, in HeroQuest Glorantha, when you pick your runes, you pick one rune to start at one mastery, one rune to start at 17, and one rune to start at 13. In Sartar, you pick your runes. One starts at 17. I think the other two start at 13.
I think so.
And the reason that we did this is because, in truth, everybody wants to have one rune up to one mastery so they can be an initiate.
Right.
So if everybody's doing that, why on earth do you then tell the players, okay, it starts at 17, but you're going to want to raise it to one mastery right away.
Right.
And so that's the sort of, where there's any changes, it's basically stuff that's designed to make Sartar and Sartar Companion and Pavis work better.
Now, are you fleshing out any more of Glorantha with your product, or are you sticking just to inserting the rules mechanics for it?
Oh, we flesh out quite a bit more. The other big thing in both HeroQuest Glorantha and in 13th Age is the default start date for a campaign in both of those settings is going to be 1627. So it's 6 years later after the events described in Sartar Kingdom of Heroes. And also in HeroQuest Glorantha, the starting character cultures include Praxian, it includes Israelians, and it includes Tarshites. And I think it also includes Gracelanders as well.
Right.
So it's a broader area of Glorantha gets introduced in the HeroQuest Glorantha book. Pretty much, well, comparable to what's introduced in 13th Age in Glorantha.
Now, just for benefit of the listeners who may not necessarily realize the Glorantha timeline.
I think since 1977, 1978, so not quite 40 years, but getting very close to it. Glorantha, the default start date has been 1621, which is the high water mark for the Lunar Empire. Sartar, which is where most characters traditionally come from, is occupied by the Lunar Empire in 1621. And the Lunars have gone on to conquer a lot of the surrounding lands. It's pretty much, well, the nadir for the Sartarites. And it results in a lot of campaigns being sort of in a Braveheart model. Mm-hmm. You know, you belong to a village or a isolated clan that are rebelling or start a rebellion against the Lunar Empire. And it's very clear who the good guys are and who the bad guys are if you're playing a Sartarite in that starting date, because the Lunars are there. They've conquered you. They bring things like the Crimson Bat in. And it's pretty clear cut. In 1627, Sartar's free.
Right.
The Sartarites have broken the back of the Lunar Empire in Dragon Pass. Sartar is free. Israelia is free. Hjortland is free. Prax is free. And not only that, but Sartar is a major power. Sartar at the start of the 1627 campaign, there is a new prince of Sartar who is also the chief warlord of the Praxians. He's the White Bull. And he's also the ally of Herrick the Berserk. And so then the games, and what we found in the games that we've run in this period, the games end up getting a lot more gray because, you know, the Lunars are no longer, they're not there. You know, they might be coming back, But now the issue is what is the cost that the Sagarites have paid to liberate themselves? And it really makes some interesting game dynamics.
So is 1621 the start of the Prince of Sardar webcomic?
Okay, Prince of Sardar webcomic right now isn't even up to 1621. Okay. I believe Prince of Sardar starts with Argrath's initiation in 1611.
Okay, so.
Then the Jariel stuff, I think, is 1614 or so. The Herrick the Berserk stuff that's going on right now is 1616. And then pretty quickly, we're going to jump up to 1621.
Excellent.
So you'll see it'll zoom and ramp right up.
That's really cool. So tell us, when will HeroQuest Glorantha be available for either pre-order or sale?
Well, that's I'm glad you asked that question. Monday, we should be nearly finished with the first round of layout. We're going to do a little bit of tweaking on the colors of a couple of the plates, because one of our artists has come back and said, you know, I'm not entirely happy with how the colors in it's Jan Pospisil, who's a fantastic artist, isn't entirely happy with the color composition so far, and so wants to make some minor tweaks to it. But what we are expecting is next month we will have pre-orders. It will be there. We will be sending it to the printer next month. We'll do the same sort of pre-order the PDF and the book that we're doing with the King of Sardar book. And, of course, it'll also be there in nice, big, giant stacks at Gen Con.
Oh, awesome.
So it's you know, Rick had just sent me earlier today page 101 for approval. And we've gotten over the toughest part filled with a zillion and one charts. So it's just, we should be wrapped up with layout in a week.
So where can we order it?
Our website. Our business model is that we do not go through game stores for distribution, at least not initially. You can order any of our stuff through glorantha.com. And it's not that we have any dislike for friendly local game stores. It's just basically that when people order stuff directly from our website, we get, you know, we get the full the fullness of the sale, which means that it's a lot easier for us to afford spending the time on writing and spending the time spending the money on art.
That's fair.
And you get a more accurate numbers on what the interest is.
Right.
Now you absolutely.
Well, let's quick chat about other Glorantha products coming out this year. You mentioned that King of Sardar novel came out.
King of Sardar novel came out.
It's the annotated version,
and that
correct?
Is at the printer right now, and it's already in pre-orders. And that is the story that the Prince of Sardar webcomic is based on.
Hmm. Very cool. I think you put the thing up, and within 5 minutes, I had my my PDF in my inbox because I ordered that.
And it's a very strange novel. I mean, it really is. It's described as a novel, but it's really, I don't intend to scare anybody off, but it's really a piece of experimental fiction, because what Greg did is Greg put together a whole series of often contradictory stories. And then the book itself is written centuries after the events that are described in these stories. And then you've got scholars trying to make sense of all of this, just like if, a lot of it comes back from, the actual practice that historians and, anyone studying ancient history has to do, is that you don't actually have anybody writing the equivalent of the Lord of the Rings in the ancient world. You piece together a story and piece together events by, you know, here's part of a story and here's part of another story and here's part of another story, and they're written centuries apart, but we can figure out what the arc of the events are from this.
It reminded me a lot of Gilgamesh in the fact that, you know, you have when you sit down to actually read Gilgamesh, you have, you know, scholar's notes and footnotes throughout the whole thing, and okay, we've rebuilt this part of the text, and here's another set of tablets that kind of corroborate what's going on here or fill in missing gaps. Is that kind of a fair?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And you know, you've got king's lists just kind of thrown in there, which is what you end up having, you know, anytime you try to make sense of our own past. You know, the moment you go before the medieval period and you try to make any sense out of anything that occurred before, you know, about 1000 AD, you just end up with a contradictory mesh of stories, king's lists, different versions of the same story, with different individuals involved. And, you know, Greg, one of the things that has been very important for Greg and I with Glorantha is that it's a world that where there are a lot of different cultures that all have different views on the structure and the cosmology of the world and how everything works, and they're all right. And they're also at times all wrong.
Right.
And that's the sort of thing that when Greg put together the first version of King of Sardar back in 92 was really important for him in writing that story. And then I've over the last couple of years, I've added some additional stories to it, corrected some really, really wildly misleading stuff, because of course people also want to be able to figure out what the story actually is, at least from what, you know, Greg and my version of the story is. And so this is, I think, a much better version than the original version that was released back in 92.
Excellent. There are three Glorantha products on the horizon that I know of. The Gods of Glorantha, the God's War game by Sandy Peterson, and the tentatively titled Adventures in Glorantha for RuneQuest 6.
Well, I can tell you what's immediately on the schedule.
Let's do that.
Okay, what's immediately on the schedule, of course, is the first thing out of the back, the gate will be HeroQuest Glorantha. Once HeroQuest Glorantha is out of the gate, it will be a race on which product gets the next layout. It'll either be Coming Storm, which is a bridge campaign book, which is a wonderful, wonderful book by Ian Cooper and myself that basically spans from 1621 right up to the cusp of 1627. So it's the bridge campaign pack that goes through Sardar during the liberation period.
Okay.
And it's got awesome hero quests and it's just brilliant fun. And Ian has been working on this in one form or another for over 10 years, and it shows it. You know, it's just an unbelievable richness to it. But it's done. I mean, we're doing the final art commissions right now and getting the final pieces in, but it's done as a book, and it'll be going into layout either next month or immediately after.
Now, will that be Kickstarted or pre-order?
What?
Will that be a Kickstarted book or will that be just pre-ordered?
Pre-ordered. I'm not a big... I mean, we've done very well with Kickstarters, but okay. I'm not a big fan. I think Kickstarters are important for books that you can really... Either one, you're trying to test what is the market for this, or two, you know, we could do a really expensive version of this or a really cheap version of this and we can't decide.
Hmm. Okay.
And so Coming Storm, just like with King of Sardar, that won't be kickstarted. We have another novel that will be coming out as well. We're hoping it'll be ready for Gen Con, and this has never been published before stuff.
Okay.
That is in final rounds of editing right now, and this is something Greg Stafford and I have worked on since... Well, Greg's been working on this since the late 80s. It's just nice to finally get this out to the public. It's probably the some of the coolest descriptions of the Glorantha setting ever done, and it's a lot of the kind of it's a canonical work that's one of the core works for everyone who writes for the setting that probably nobody who doesn't write for the setting has ever read, which in my opinion kind of sucks. So we're hoping that will get out in time for Gen Con. We also have 13th Age in Glorantha and the Glorantha source book. The status of that is that that's kind of a push me pull you pair of products, where I had to do a huge amount of stuff on the source book up front for Jonathan and Rob, and now they're pulling forward, and I have to add additional stuff to basically make sure that there's a reference book for anybody that's wanting to do a 13th Age game and a HeroQuest and Glorantha game. It's much smaller than the guide, don't worry about that. But the source book contains a huge amount of knowledge, more than I ever thought it would when I first started putting it together, but a huge amount of knowledge about the mythology of Glorantha. Because realizing in both HeroQuest Glorantha and in 13th Age, you really need to know what are the core mythological stories. Mm-hmm. And a lot more information about Sartar, Tarsh, Isrolia, Hjortland, Prax. Enough that if you're running in either game system, you've got a book that you can read through and say, okay, that's what this is. I'm going to borrow from this. I'm going to borrow from this and borrow from this. And that one is an art, but I'm going to be adding some additional text to it once I get the next round of push me, pull you from Jonathan and Rob. And we also have Troll Pack, which I'm starting the art commissioning process for later this month. Awesome. And that is to play trolls in HeroQuest Glorantha.
Very cool.
So, and that's the stuff that's... And then the other bit is after Gen Con, we will launch the Kickstarter for God's War with Sandy. And he has been refining the rules for the last year and doing just a god-awful amount of playtesting to make sure that the balance is right. And then Rich Flyder and I, Rich is his art director, have been making sure that the miniatures are even cooler than the Cthulhu Wars miniatures.
I cannot wait for this game.
So we've got that being kickstarted, late summer. And then whenever I recover from that, then I will start putting together enough so that we can do the Gods of Glorantha Kickstarter.
Excellent.
And then actually, after that point, I've got no idea. we've already commissioned the first scenario book for 13th Age in Glorantha. So, which will be a re-envisioned, updated version of a classic RQ2 setting, but frankly, a lot cooler than the RQ2 version of it, and also updated to the 1627 period and designed specifically to maximize 13th Age and Glorantha play options.
Excellent.
So, I'm hoping that's... Sounds like a lot. Sounds like a lot to me.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot. I don't think you're going to have any trouble staying busy.
Oh, no. I pretty much will churn this stuff around the clock. And it's really fortunate that, Rob and Jonathan are giant Glorantha geeks on the moon design side. Besides, my partners, Neil Robinson and Rick Mines, I've also got folk like Ian Cooper and Dan McCluskey, who have long labored in the galleys of Glorantha, but haven't really done published works before. And it's nice to be able to finally get them up to be able to take the lead on doing works for publication.
Very cool.
And Yeah. So a good and busy time.
I have two more questions from one of our listeners. And if the two questions were any word on the Last Rebel book that was hinted, that was talked about in the Sartar Kingdom of Heroes.
All right. So one of the issues that my goal originally, and this is, I guess, I'm behaving in absolutely classic Chiasium fashion. You know, we're one of the, there is, you know, Charlie's doing a great job with Chiasium, but, you know, we think of ourselves as kind of the successor state to at least the RuneQuest Glorantha part of Chiasium. And with the White Wall campaign, what I had initially intended to do was after we did Sardar Companion and Pavis, to immediately jump in, do the White Wall to White Wall, Battle of the Auric Hills, Nochit campaign. That would be the last Rebel campaign. And then also do the big Rebel book. Well, instead, we had this crazy idea of doing a Guide to Glorantha Kickstarter. And that's what happened to it. It's something I've got a huge amount of material, and you'll see a huge amount of material on it in the HeroQuest Glorantha book. At this point, I don't have a book in condition that I'm willing to say, okay, I'm satisfied with this. Let's do the final stages of this and start commissioning the art.
And the other question we had was, and I'm going to horribly butcher the name, but as part of the Guide to Glorantha Kickstarter, there was an essay about vampires that was going to be written
by Mark. Now, what we did is we threw in, it wasn't supposed to be a very long essay. Mark and I talked a bit, and Mark has had, at the same time, Mark committed to two Kickstarters. And he is now, I believe, finished with his zombie Kickstarter. I don't know if anybody knows on your guys' side follows any of that. But he did Democracy of the Game and then a zombie Kickstarter.
Okay.
And basically there you had the situation where while we were putting to the guide, there was just no ability for me to grab the time to get Mark to write an essay. So instead what we did is he and I talked a fair amount. We wrote stuff into the chaos section. At some point when things calm down and he gets some free time, our intention is for him to fulfill that, write the essay on it. And we will put that up onto the website as background material. But, this is just, the thing of what happens when you're dealing with a whole lot of people with unpredictable schedules.
Makes perfect sense.
I'm hoping that nobody is too dissatisfied that we do not have Mark's essay at this point.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't even notice it was absent because there's just so much information in the Guide to Glorantha.
And Mark is a huge Glorantha fan. And actually, I'm going to give him some more praise. He was the one who convinced us to do a Kickstarter for the guide.
Oh, very cool.
I mean, Mark has been unbelievably supportive, unbelievably helpful, and a great source of just bouncing ideas and moral support on it. But, he also is trying to establish his own game line. And that's just and he's doing it as far as I can tell, a one-man shop. That is an immense commitment of time. And we didn't want to wait on the guide.
That's fair.
So
it's a gorgeous product.
Hope we didn't disappoint anybody too much. But I do think that the guide is an awfully pretty book. So
it really is. And if 700 pages between two volumes of three column text just isn't enough info for you, then you're in the wrong place.
And to think that we got all of that, at the time of the Kickstarter, we had maybe 40%. We had a book ready. It was about 40% the size of the guide. After that Kickstarter happened, we more than doubled the size of the guide. We added, 30 new color and black and white plates. And then mapped the entire southern continent, the entire East Isles, Kralorella. I mean, basically, if you've got your guide, prior to the Kickstarter, we had Genertella minus Kralarella and Teshnos.
Okay.
That was the original book we were going to put together. And after the Kickstarter, everything else got written. So I'm pretty proud of what we did there. I think we did I'm very satisfied with that.
As you should be. Well, Jeff, thanks for taking time out to chat with us about HeroQuest and Glorantha and what's coming down the line.
Hey, I am just thankful and very appreciative that on a 13th Age podcast and that you guys decided to invite somebody with a completely different and borderline alien rule system to talk about it. I mean, on the writer's side, that's not that odd of a thing because, you know, obviously Rob is familiar with HeroQuest. I'm very familiar with 13th Age. Same thing with Jonathan. There's always cross fertilization at the game designer levels, but you know, it's a great thing to be able to bring in diverse different rule systems on one podcast. So my hat's off to you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks. Well, I think Nick, any final questions or?
No, I'm going to have to re-listen to this just to reprocess everything you told me. It's just like the Guide to Glorantha, just total information overload.
Well, thanks.
Well,
Jeff.
Thank you guys again.
My pleasure, and we will be in touch. Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions or comments, you can contact us at whitedragon@iconicpodcast.com. or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.